het 'n nuwe Afrikaans woord geleer hierdie week, belaglik. And if we don't preach the Bible, we're just going to know. Die Engelsman het 'n nuwe woord, belaglik. It means ridiculous. And if I say to you, belaglik, I'm not actually saying ridiculous, I'm just saying I've learnt a new word. So let's have a look at the book of Nehemiah, and I'm going to literally preach. I was going to preach for 30 minutes, but I'm not going to preach for 30 minutes because we don't have the time. But let's have a look at Nehemiah chapter 4, and point number one is this. When you make a decision for God, there will always be opposition. There will always be opposition. People say to me, how's your business going, Rory? We've had the worst 3 months in our history. Thank you for asking. It's been terrible. But I'm so excited. But I'm so excited because we're changing it. From a buying and selling business to a sowing and reaping business. There are two forms of finances, two forms of values in the world. Buying and selling and sowing and reaping. And most people are experts in buying and selling. But the kingdom of God is about sowing and reaping. It's completely different to the world system. I want to say to you, sir, if you've got 500 million, 800 million, 5 billion rand in the bank, the Bible says it's going to fall in 1 hour. Babylon will fall in 1 hour. Your money will disappear in 1 hour. And it says the apostles and the prophets and the church will rejoice. So you can't put your finances in the world system. You've got to put them in God's kingdom. If you want to laugh at the end, you might be laughing now, but if you want to laugh at the end, and if you want to implement any form of change, you've got to know there will be opposition. Yay sal belachlik fool. You will feel like you are being ridiculous. Let's read. When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews. Say ridiculed. When we make decisions for God, not just our enemies, our foes, but sometimes our friends and even our families think that it's ridiculous. In Santon, it goes something like this. Hey, doll. Are we going skiing in Paris in December? You say, no, doll. We're busy with a big church project. Says, oh, that's ridiculous. In Menland, it goes like this. Hey, puppy. Gaan ons in December na Parys toe. Nie Parys in die Vrystaat, Parys oos hier. Om bietjie te ski. Hy sê, nee, ons is besig met 'n groot kerkprojek. Ag, dis belaglik. In Santon, a guy is like this, hey doll, how are your children's yoga classes going? Oh no, we've stopped that because we're with a big church party. He says, oh, that's ridiculous. It's very good for their self-image. In Menlo Park, hey poppy, hoe gaan het met jou kinders a yoga klasse? It doesn't matter when you make a decision for Jesus. There will always be the accusation of ridiculousness. Belachlikheid. Can you imagine Noah when God told him to build a boat nowhere near Hartebeest Poort Dam? You got the Vaal Dam, you've got Hartebeest Poort Dam, and God says to him, build a boat there near Silver Lakes. Sort of like a man-made dam. It's not going to take you 1 year, or 2 years, or 3 years, or 4 years. It's going to take you over 100 years. And every day you go to work and everybody, people say to you, this is absolutely ridiculous. Dit is belachlik. Don't be so stupid. You're wasting your time. You're wasting your energy. This is 2019. Another prayer meeting. But when the rain started to fall, and I want to tell you, friends, you can laugh at me, you can laugh at me all you can in the face. They lined up here, all the Derbies. I was thinking, over there is Derby Root, the top economist in the country. Over there is Derby Kloppers, the top financial advisor in the country. And next to him is Derby Chamberlain, the top businessman in Pretoria. It's amazing how Pretoria uses Derbies, eh? It's like Derby, Derby, Derby. You can tell all the Derbies. They can laugh at the church now. But one day, the church will laugh at them. But if we build God's way now, it will seem unbelievably ridiculous. To move a church, to build a building in an economic crisis is absolutely ridiculous. Unless we believe that God is going to save Jeffs and Janes, empower them and train them and take them out of a world of dacha and addiction. There were times of his life that he lived in a caravan park all by himself. And God put him into a community and taught him family and empowered him. And then gave him opportunity to lead. And now he's sending him to the nations. That just seems way beyond ridiculous. Dis nie belaglik nie, my vriend. Jy mors nie jou tyd nie of jou geld. Ons is besig met 'n groot projek. Mense kan dit nie nou sien nie, maar eendag sal ons terugstaan en saam met die Here lag. He ridiculed the Jews in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, and he said, "What are those feeble Jews doing? What are those stupid Christians doing in 56 Saul Street? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burnt as they are?" Where's the man who stood up? I've just seen him now. He said he was a cocaine addict when he walked into this church. There you are. This man's name is Warren. And he wrote on the wall before we left, "I was a cocaine addict and addicted to alcohol, and God has set me free. And the enemy says to me, as we build the church and sacrifice our finances, and our business dips because we're changing the values of our business, the enemy comes to me and says, 'Do you really think, do you honestly think that you can take that burnt stone, that broken boy, that piece of rubbish, do you honestly believe you can take him and love him and put him into community and take a psychologist who believes in the science of psychology, and she takes on a whole psychological system and she writes a faith-based healing paper because she lost her son in a cot death, and the psychology, the science that she studied, couldn't heal her, so she wrote a PhD in faith healing with this big bulky man next to her who takes people under his wings and they invest time and money and energy and effort, and one by one they see stones restored. Do you not think that God can take this burnt stone and restore him and place him back in the temple of God?" Yes. Oh, I love you, my brother. That's not a false. I love you. Every time I see you, you give me hope about where my money's going and where my prayers are going and where my time is going. This is what it says in Zechariah. It's the wrong way around, but sometimes we can turn God's words around. It says this in Zechariah 11. "Then I took," Jesus speaking, he says, "then I took two staffs." It's a negative context because the leaders are abusing God's people. And there are many leaders that abuse God's people, and I trust we never do that. He says, "Then I took two staffs, and I called one favor and the other union, and I pastured the flock." The next verse, please. For I'm going to raise up a shepherd over this land who will not care for the lost, or seek the young, or heal the injured, or feed the healthy, but will eat the meat of the choice sheep, tearing off their hooves. Please keep that up there. That's what bad leadership looks like. If we reverse this, this is what good leadership looks like. We are going to invest in a building project. We are going to build a sheep kraal. It will have air conditioners just because it gets hot here in summer. And actually, we've got enough people that can afford it. But inside of that sheep kraal, we will care for the lost. That means if you're lost, you'll come into a place that's very careful. If you're lost morally or lost emotionally, you'll be cared for. We will be careful with you. The second thing it says, we will seek the young. The church is full of old people. And we thank God for that, because in there there's wisdom, and in there there's history, and in there there's the faithfulness of God. But we want to see a church that seeks the young. I said this two Sunday nights ago, this church is going to honor millennials. Everybody rips off millennials about their lack of concentration, their ability to change sides, their ability to move on, their lack of faithfulness in jobs and all those things. But we're going to seek the young. This is going to be a place where young people get seen and heard. The third thing it says, and heal the injured. We're going to build a place where we heal the injured. You know what? Some of you, and I know you, and I've been in ministry so long, you act so tough, but you are so broken inside. We are investing. Not in a building project. We are investing in a place where people get cared for, seen, and healed. Amen. And number four, it says where we feed the healthy. And many of you, 85% are healthy. But you don't want to just come to church to hear about the broken and the lost. You actually want to be fed. You're called to be doctors. You're called to be lawyers. You're called to be entrepreneurs. You're called to be an entrepreneur. You've got a gift of entrepreneurship upon your life. You're a healthy man. You should come into church, and when I'm finished speaking, you should feel fed. Your heart should be like this. And you should walk out of here and get in your car and say to your wife, I got something this Sunday. Because you're not meant to be preaching in the church. You're meant to be out there employing people and changing people's lives. And so are you. You've also got the gift of entrepreneurship, and you've got the gift of employment, and God has given you wisdom beyond your years, and you're meant to come to church to get fed so you can go out there and change the business world. Amen? And you know what it says? And we won't rip off their hooves, or we won't tear off their hooves. We won't rip people off. I pray when we finish this project or when you leave this church, you'll be able to say, I was part of that church for 15 years or 17 years or 18 years, and the leaders never, ever ripped me off. We're trying to build something that is different. The enemy will say to us, this belachlik. He will tell us we're feeble. He will ask us if we'll finish. But I want to tell you, every burnt stone that walks into this church, we will try as best we can to heal it so it can take its rightful place in the building that God is building. We're not getting very far, hey? Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, what they are building, if even a fox climbed on it, it would break down their wall of stones. Hear us, O God, for we are despised. Turn the insults back on their own heads. Give them over as plunder in a land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sin from your sight, for they have thrown insults in the face of the builders. So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart. Say half the height. Say all their heart. Half the height, all their heart. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the men of Ashdod heard that the repairs of Jerusalem's walls had gone ahead and that there were gaps being closed, they were very angry. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to stir up trouble against it. But we prayed to our God and we posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. Friends, I just want to say this. Say half the height. Say all their heart. The wonderful thing with this building project, as I'm trying to position it of what we're trying to do, we're not just investing in brick and mortar. I actually couldn't care about brick and mortar. I care about Warren. And Gustav. And Jochen. And Zetska. I'm investing my life into people. And Jeffrey. Half the height, all their heart. We have raised now 27 million rand for our building project. Let's thank God for that. But that's only halfway. But I feel like I've put all my heart in there. I've put all my heart in. But it's only halfway. So I've got to go back and say, okay, God, what does that mean? I can't put anything on you because we said it's going to be willing and cheerful. I'll tell you what my family and I have done. I've not earned a salary this year. I thought 6 months' salary into a building project would pay this building project off. But I've put my whole heart in and it's only halfway. So I'll tell you what we've had to do as a family. We've had to sit down and say we're going to give up another 6 months' salary. And it's not about a building project. And you walk out here and we're not taking up tithes and offerings afterwards so you can relax. But I want to tell you, we are not investing in brick and mortar. We are investing in Jeff and Jane and Warren and Jacobus at the back and Naomi and whatever your name might be so that we can care for the lost, seek the young, heal the injured, feed the healthy, and never rip anybody off. And the world will say, wat julle is besig met is belaglik. But I will say to you, what we're busy with is a great project that God has called us to. Who is Nehemiah? He's just Jesus taking the burnt out stones of humanity and putting them into a building that can house his presence. I want to be busy with such a great project. In Jesus' name, amen.